be Irulao. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back.
Oh, there's a crime here. It's a coming from the Euskaleria. Gotta watch those red hands. It's the crimes of the Basland. It's the crimes of the Basland.
Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Julie. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. Thank you.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been pretty chill.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Have you had a hard week?
Yeah, a little bit, but...
I mean, I know you wrote this episode in like one day. That's incredible.
Yeah, I did. So it might be evident.
Don't say that. You're getting
but
way better.
We'll see. We'll see.
You're honing
this. Yeah, I'm getting better at writing them fast, let's say. Baskills are super green.
That is beautiful. I don't like the light so much. I mean, the light is beautiful now, but it's...
He doesn't like light. He's a vampire.
I like to go to sleep before the sun comes up, and now it's getting impossible, and it's like,
your life is ruined.
It's okay. I just appreciate winter a lot. It's all good.
I love summer. Love it.
I
like when it's lighter in the morning, lighter at night.
I like not being too cold.
But it is spring, and like... The green hills are just
it's beautiful.
Amazing. It's beautiful. Really pretty outside.
Fresh leaves
beautiful
everywhere.
Basque mountains.
Yep, yep. We're having drinks. I hope everybody who can and is not doing sport right now joins.
Can join us and have a drink.
I'm always surprised how many people do sports listening to our podcast.
I do a lot of sports listening to podcasts. Not necessarily ours.
Ours, yeah.
No, I don't listen to ours, but I do a lot of sport listening to podcasts.
Well, I'm just drinking a beer.
What are you drinking today?
Just Toda la Vida, Wakima.
Oh, no, Yakima. It's the Yakima one, yes.
Yakima,
Wakima, Washington.
Yes, that's me.
IPA. Mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
It's a true crime podcast.
It is.
We talk about crimes that are in the best lands, the best country, or...
Related
around.
To people who descended from Basque people.
Anywhere in the world that Basque people have ended up.
Which is most places. But we just have to justify it.
Pretty much most places.
Tiny little bit. Yeah. Give you a name.
And today's story actually had way more than I had anticipated.
Of connections?
Because the more I was working on it, I was like, oh, wait, that's a Basque.
Nice. Shout them out. You know, I like them.
I will. And you're going to hear all about them, Douglas, today.
I'm excited. How graphic is it today? That was a long thing.
I mean, like mom safe, in terms of mom safe, I don't know. Because it's not there. I mean, I'm going to go into some detail about something that is kind of gruesome and horrible.
Okay.
So maybe I'll just warn people when it's going to happen, and you can just skip ahead.
It'll just be a little moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Because everybody's warned.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
Yes.
I don't know if mom will... It's not all littered with gory details, if you will.
To come back to a lighter note before we start.
I was going to talk about my drink, too.
Yeah.
You talked about yours.
I did.
So I'm drinking a gin that's made in the Basque country. It's from Amurrio, and it's called Gin B&B, so gin from Bilbao or something, I guess.
I guess. Bilbao Biscaya.
So it's Bilbao maybe. Dry gin, right?
How about we say Bilbao Biscaya, BB?
BB, yeah. BB. Bilbao Basket.
Oh, that's a good one. Not sure gin is the right sponsor for basketball, but why not?
Well, why not?
Sure,
why not?
Sure.
Alcohol has sponsored a lot of things.
Oh, no, all the time.
This gin is really nice. And it's like, it's from Amurrio, which is like near Orduña and Llodio.
Just south of Bilbao, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my students lives there.
They use a lot of like, there's red tea, cardamom, coriander in the mix. So it's lovely.
Nice. Sounds good. So I might go on to it later.
Yeah. So... shall we begin?
Let's.
Today's story.
Hold on to your chapelas, guys.
Yeah, hold on. It's not nice.
So what's the title for today?
So this one I called, generally when I come up with names, I just have to come up with the name of my document. So I just name it in the moment. Oh. And it generally tends to stick.
Oh. And it's always got and these catchy names.
And I usually end up just with the story name that I gave it in the first place.
Well, I like how you're usually very spot on. Because
I kind of have I have an idea of what the story is because I've researched it and stuff.
Yeah.
So this one's called Badu is Bad.
Badu is Bad. That's
Badu is Bad.
Double O at the end of Badu.
Yeah, B-A-D-O-O. So this has some racy sexual content and, of course, violence and murder.
Okay.
So if you're sensitive to that stuff, may not be the episode for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am hypersensitive, bear it in mind, and I usually get through them okay. Yeah, but
you don't get to get out of it. You have to listen to me and tell you about it.
I don't.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
You can't fast forward my...
Yeah, see how squeamish I'm getting and then skip accordingly.
Yeah. If Douglas starts getting really uncomfortable,
yeah.
That's your sign to,
I'm your canary.
To skip ahead.
I'm your canary in the tunnel.
Exactly. Okay, so today's story is centered around a dating app.
We love them. I love
them.
Do we? Them.
I don't know, because fortunately I was not around when dating apps became the means with which people date people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pre-dating apps. Yeah.
I started, but I had a stint before apps, and I continue using apps.
A stint, yeah. So you've had the both worlds.
Mm.
You've seen what it's like.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So I'm really curious about apps. Your experience
in this. Oh, my comments. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Because you're on Grindr.
Don't use it much. I am. Yeah. I also have other ones, but Grindr's.
Do you have a pros and cons list of?
100,000. Too long to go.
I want to hear your top three pros, top three cons.
For Grindr?
For Grindr.
Top three pro. If you want to meet somebody, you will meet somebody within 30 minutes. That's a, that's a pretty top
nice.
One.
Okay.
Another pro.
Is that you gonna see a picture? I don't know. Does the picture always match?
Oh no.
The person?
No. So that's
never.
Not a pro. That's not a pro. I mean,
that's
sometimes
a con.
It does. Sometimes it does.
Out of what percentage would you say that they match the picture?
Maybe 20.
Really?
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people, and it really varies by city, very much. Mm. So UK is very different. From Bilbao.
Yeah, because of
Spain.
Course, you can move around. Mm. When you're moving around, you can...
Yeah. So if you're traveling, and you open the app, you can be pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's actually, unfortunately, another negative. It's there's a lot of people who don't like putting their face, because it's the 80s, because nobody's proud of being gay or something.
They're scared of being outed or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't like... When I meet with... people inevitably, I work at a school or I work at a big company and actually here there's a lot of
and you will have repercussions or something.
That's what they're scared of.
Right.
I mean, I think it's not too founded here where we live.
Yeah, the idea that it would happen.
But a lot of what's the name of that hyper Catholic organization from Navarre?
Opus Dei.
Yeah, they own half the freaking companies here, and they have
and schools.
Yeah, and they have clear policies against gay people, which I'm sure is illegal, but they get around it. So, so yeah. Anyway, so that's a kind of not so nice. I mean, it's the good thing is it's fast. People are very direct. They know what they want. And you can sort that out pretty fast and know if you're going to do it or not. Are we meeting out? No, you just want me to go to your house? No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very direct. Yeah.
It's very direct.
To the point. Yeah.
And you don't lose your time.
Mm-hmm. Waste your time.
That's the expression I wanted to use.
you Spanglishized it.
Spanglishing. Yeah. I mean, it could be anything. It could be my Japanese.
Or yeah.
But yeah, I mean... Yeah, and then as well, there's lots of negatives we've already been covering, but people are very hard to commit. It's impossible to...
Yeah, and harsh, too. I've seen...
Harsh.
So a friend of ours, I remember meeting him for a drink because he was in town, and he had connected with somebody, and that somebody that he had connected with was at another bar that was maybe 300 meters away.
Mm-hmm.
They realized they're in the same place. Uh-huh. I saw the two of them go meet in the middle.
Okay.
And then I saw both of them
turn around.
No.
Okay.
Just walk quit. Yeah. I was like, wow. Yeah. Wow. Harsh. Like, yeah, yeah. No, you're not for me. And I was like, damn, that's really harsh.
It's a Hollywood movie every day for a guy that's dating. Like, I mean, I don't have the energy to date that much. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. This story today is going to be of a dating app encounter or encounters. That's going to take a dark turn.
Oh, I'm already scared.
Surprise, surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not new. This is not unusual. I mean, I've heard lots of stories about this.
It happens. It happens. It also happens in bars. There's nothing special about
it. True. So the app in question is one that I really had only heard of, like, offhandedly. I'd never heard of Badu.
Okay.
I mean, I had heard of it, but, like, not much about it, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So
never was too big.
I don't know anyone that uses it, but apparently it's like one of the biggest in use in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it. I think, it, as you say, more.
But I've heard of it, but I've never like met anyone that actually used it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you some history
of
this app, okay?
Let's hear about it.
Okay. So Badu was founded in 2006 by a Russian entrepreneur, Andrei Andreev. It operates in 190 countries and is available in 47 different languages.
Reasonable.
So I wonder if one of these languages is Basque.
Oh, very unlikely. 47. So unlikely.
Badu is most popular in Brazil, Mexico, Spain, France, and Italy. So Badu, of course, has not been without its critics in... 2018, Forbes magazine published an investigative report which outlined the company's misdeeds in the workplace.
Yeah.
These included reports of institutional misogyny, illegal drug use, and, drug use amongst its employees, and various complaints of racial and sexual discrimination. So in this report, they said that 13 employees came forward to denounce their culture, the work culture at Badu. They described workplace after parties where recreational drug use and prostitution abounded. So they're bringing in prostitutes.
Years in bars.
They alleged that, and then obviously sexual assault and harassment were also alleged, right? Mm-hmm. They also shared an internal email thread as proof where photos from these parties and pornographic videos that employees had participated in were shared. So they even named technical updates after porn stars.
Ooh.
So, I mean, this is like a real...
It's getting sleazier.
Massage is a sleazy. Yeah, sleazy. Let's go sleazy.
For sure.
Like atmosphere, right? other criticisms include its poor score for privacy and various police reports to investigate fake profiles that were created without people's consent. So they were, there were several profiles created of people, like real people that were not using the app, right?
Happens everywhere where you can create a profile, really.
So that's what I got out of this history of Badu. So let's take a break.
Okay,
we're back.
Boom, boom.
My one sentence synopsis for this crime is dating can be all fun and games until it all goes Badu. The crimes in our story today take place in the province of Zaragoza. Okay?
Neighboring.
But don't worry, dear listeners. We have a Basque link, so hang on to your chapelas. Okay?
Hyperventilating.
Don't worry, Douglas. It's coming. So, on July 26th of 2019, a 37-year-old Romanian truck driver by the name of Florin, only the first name, Florin, had recently signed up for Badu. He was stoked when a very pretty Latin girl clicked on his heart. I guess that's how you express interest. You know, she expressed her interest in him or in his profile. And so in her profile picture, she was dark-skinned, thin, wearing very short shorts with her butt cheeks exposed, and a teeny tiny tank top that barely covered her breasts.
Right.
So he was sold.
I mean, that's how easy it is.
She immediately requested that the two speak privately, and they moved their chat onto WhatsApp. She told him her name was Daniela Mendoza. She was 24 and from the Dominican Republic. Throughout their private chat on WhatsApp, she continued to send him racier and racier pics of herself, accompanied with some very serious dirty talk.
Oh.
So she was ready to meet up with him that day for some sexy time.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. They agreed to meet later that day in the town of Galur. Mm-hmm. Or Gayur.
Okay.
This was his first date on Badu, and he felt like he had hit the jackpot.
Well, yeah, it sounds, I mean...
So hard
I'm worried,
as a...
since yeah. it is our podcast. Poor guy. First podcast. First
his first
link.
Date.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he was hard as a rock and heading to Gayur.
That.
He received one last message, which read, "You'll see what panties I've worn when, and you'll love them." When he arrived at the agreed destination, sure as shit, a very pretty Latina was waiting for him on the side of the road. She climbed into his car and gave him a big old kiss. All right. So far, so good.
Is she matching the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They agree to head to a hotel to get to know each other better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, if you know what I mean. A lot better, you know. But she's cold and she forgot her jacket at her grandmother's house. So could they please go there first to pick it up? She directs him down a dirt road to a house that appears abandoned.
Ooh.
But he's about to get laid, so all the red flags are like flying out the window.
There's
right?
a bit of blindness going on there.
She asks him to turn off the lights and exits the car. He awaits her return, and when she does, she's got two dudes with her.
Oh my gosh. So sad.
Yeah, you know where this is going, right, Douglas?
I mean, if I was a gay guy, I'd be dead already, so...
Yeah. It's not good. Nothing good.
Okay.
So the men violently pull him out of his car. They bound him immediately with zip ties and place a knife to his neck.
This is professional.
Mm-hmm. They duct tape his face and neck and start tasing him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They rob him, obviously. They take his watch, phone, wallet with credit cards and 55 euros in cash and even his sneakers. They leave him bruised and bloodied in the road and take off in his own car, which was a Renault Clio or...
Yeah, Renault Clio.
Clio,
I just thought he was driving a truck because he was a truck driver, but he was just driving a car.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he when they ditch him and he's left in the road barefoot,
mm-hmm.
he runs to a house where he finds a woman named Dolores.
Mm.
And she helps him out, you know.
Nice.
And then he goes directly to the police.
Good.
All he can recall of his attackers is that they were hooded and that one of them had two tattoos on his calves. When police start an investigation into this Daniela, the phone number she used to contact him on WhatsApp was in the name of another Romanian citizen who had nothing to do with the situation.
Okay.
So perhaps it was stolen.
Right.
Another phone stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And Florine can't even provide photos of her because she's deleted them from the chat they'd had from her phone.
Yeah, and she took the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, and they took his phone. And her profile on Badu is also gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Officers show him pictures of other women on the site to see if he recognizes any of them, but he does not. They request data from Badu, but this request is going to take some time. So... The day after his assault, someone wearing a blue cap and jean shorts tried unsuccessfully to use his credit card at a Caja Rural ATM in Galur. And when Florine is shown the image captured on the security cameras, he says that he's 90% sure that it's one of the attackers because the tattoos are visible in the footage.
Mm.
This is where the investigation stalls.
Okay.
So then on September of the same year, 2019, another man fell for Daniela's charms on Badu.
Mm-hmm.
But this time she was calling herself Bella.
Mm-hmm.
And she was from Brazil.
Okay.
The second victim has renamed, you know, he's remained nameless in reports, but he's described as a 58-year-old businessman and divorcee from Tudela,
mm-hmm.
Tudela, Navarra.
Mm-hmm.
Basque.
There's a connection.
There's a Basque connection.
Second victim.
He's from Nevada. Unlike Florine, he had a few dates from his connections on the app, but he would normally spend weeks or months getting to know his lady friends before meeting them in person. But Bella was persistent from their very first conversation, and she got right to the point. She didn't provide much personal information about herself, but what she lacked in normal details of one's life or personality, she made up for with some risque full-body pics of herself.
Yes, I've seen that technique before.
And the fact that she was much younger than our man from Navarra didn't bother her in the least. In fact, she made it clear that she was into older men. In a video chat between the two, she illustrated just how ready and willing she was to hook up ASAP. The speed with which she moved surprised him, but a relative of the victim was later quoted as saying, quote, "She got him to stop thinking with his head." At least classic. One of his heads, right?
Classic, yeah.
So on September 4th of 2019, he was ready to get down with Bella. He didn't have a car, but that didn't stop him from jumping on a train from Tudela to Lutheny train station in Zaragoza. Okay. Bella, or Bella, agreed to meet him there before taking their business to a local hotel. She messaged him throughout the journey with racier and racier messages and photos, the last one leaving him with no doubt about the purpose of his visit. She sent, quote, "I shave my pussy so we can fuck comfortably," end quote.
Yeah.
He arrived by train, right? Mm-hmm. Night had already fallen, and he couldn't see anyone fitting her description at the station. Soon after arriving, he received a message on his phone from Bella, telling him that she was across the tracks waiting for him.
Okay.
He found her there, but you guessed it, she wasn't alone.
Accompanied. Two big, strong men.
Well, not yet.
Oh.
She points to a car down the way and says that her friend had brought her there to meet him, and that this friend will then drive them to the hotel. So as they walk towards the car, a man wearing a cap, who appeared to be what he later described, of Arabic descent, mm-hmm. who spoke Spanish with an accent, mm-hmm. approached them and then struck him on the head with a wrench.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The pair he could have died. It's just there. That's right? Horrible.
Yeah. The pair quickly tied his hands and feet with zip ties, threw a hood over his head, and then shoved him into a box in the trunk of a car.
These guys are brutal.
Oh, the car that was there waiting.
Yeah.
Bella yelled at him that they were going to throw him away into a river before slamming the lid down on the trunk.
That's very sweet.
So they drove for a while, playing the music at full volume before abruptly stopping and then reopening the trunk. They weren't there to toss him into the river, but to demand that he provide them with his PIN numbers to his credit cards. After using an ATM and what I assume was an unsuccessful attempt at withdrawing any money from his account, the pair escalated their threats. Bella now held a gun to our terrified victim's head, stating, "Be still or I will kill you." They now demanded that he contact family members to give them 12,000 euros. And if he didn't, they were going to cut off his finger. So here's where his business skills came in handy, because he negotiated them down to 3,000. Okay. From 12,000 to 3,000. So while he was probably released to make this happen, to like contact his family or whatever, this is when he made his escape.
Oh my gosh.
But they didn't have any details about how he escaped. Oh. Like, I couldn't find any details about how he got away from them. Right. But maybe once they untied him, he just took off running.
Man.
And then made a lot of noise. I don't know. But I love those details. I love hearing how people get out of there.
It's the best.
And they survived. Yeah.
Helps us plan our escapes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're ever in this situation, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so tense. That's so terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So they made off with 650 euros, his phone, and his suitcase, and his eyeglasses. And he also didn't, hesitate in reporting this to the police.
Good, good. Well, I'm
to
sorry.
To the Guardia Civil or the Civil Guard.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like with Florine's case, they had run into the similar issues.
Everything deleted.
The profile of Bella was swiped from Badu, and another data quest request from the platform was unanswered. So this will take us to our next and final victim.
Okay.
Josechu.
Okay. That sounds Basque. Basketball.
So this man unfortunately met with a much darker and more brutal fate on his quest for love.
Oh.
Yeah. He was also from a neighborhood closer to us.
Oh.
So hold on to that chipella, Douglas. It's going to get to my head. So much worse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this man, Jose Antonio Delgado, he was a 54-year-old computer specialist and businessman from Las Arenas in Getxo.
Oh.
Which is located in Greater Bilbao.
Yep.
His friends and family had a sweeter and more Basque-esque nickname for him.
Josechu?
Josechu.
Yeah.
Yeah. In September, so same month, right? And only days after.
Thank you for telling me that.
Right? Because it was like September 4th that our second victim met up with her.
Okay.
This is like September 6th.
Oh my gosh.
2 days later. So in September, after having separated from his wife, Josechu started looking for love in all the wrong places, mostly Badu. He was matched with a lovely young woman, 20 to 30 years his junior, who showed an immediate interest in him.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. This time, though, she's going by the ironic moniker of Sweet Angel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dulce now, Angel.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So right away, she's messaging Josechu. Hello, I've seen your photos, and I would like to meet you. Shall we meet? And he was in. He tells his parents and brother that he's heading to Zaragoza for the weekend of September 6th, adding, if I don't have a good time, I'll return soon. He told another close friend that that the purpose of his visit was to meet a woman he had connected with on Badu. Mm-hmm. They were possibly going to spend some time in Logroño, which is in La Rioja, or Zaragoza, and he excitedly showed him the photos of his much younger conquest.
Of course.
So he had sent a photo of her.
Oh, nice. To your friend. Finally. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
He packs a suitcase for the weekend and departs for Zaragoza on Friday, September 6th in his red Mercedes 220. I don't know what they would call this. 220, I'm assuming, is how they would call it, right?
Sure.
So the weekend comes and goes and no one has heard from Josechu. Concerned, they contact his work and he hasn't shown up there either.
Oh my, oh. Well,
now they're very concerned and they contact the Archancha. And they file Archancha. And they file a missing person report. Police begin a formal investigation and what they find is not promising. One of Josechu's two phones sent out his last signal in Alagón, Zaragoza, at 2:27 a.m. of Friday night, the 6th.
Yeah.
Because he was last located in the province outside of Arteinza's jurisdiction, they turned to the civil guard, or the Guardia Civil, for assistance. With their assistance, they discovered that Josechu's card was used at a couple of ATMs in Utebo and Figurelas, also in Zaragoza.
Okay.
A total of 1,500 euros has been withdrawn.
Ouch.
In 300 euro increments and all within a few hours. So he disappears. He leaves on the 6th, but nobody knows he's gone until like Monday the 9th.
Oh, that's a long time.
Right? So Friday the 6th, Saturday the 7th, 8th. Then they see that all these withdrawals, like on the 8th or the 9th, took place on his bank account.
Oh, okay. So it's still happening.
So it's later, but it's like pretty recent, right? But what really caught these investigators in the Guardia Civil, you know, what caught their attention was the case, you know, was the fact that this man had come to meet a beautiful Latin woman whom he'd met on Badu. This all sounded very familiar.
Oh, right. They're already catching.
They already had these other two cases, right? Finally. So meanwhile, back in Bilbao, A man shows up at the home of Josechu's parents,
ouch,
complaining that his cousin in Zaragoza had purchased a brand new Mercedes 220 online on Mil Anuncios, which is 1,000 ads or something, mm-hmm, right? If you were to translate
Mil Anuncios. Yeah, and it's just an
it's like
kind
a Craigslist ad. Or like a, yeah, like a
public
place to sell things by owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up and he says that he's having problems with the final transaction of the transactions of the purchase, and he was there to see if they could resolve the issue. The family immediately contacted the police, and they came to find that it was indeed Josechu's car, and it had been sold on September 7th, just one day after he had left for Zaragoza. A local man by the name of Antonio saw what he thought was a great deal for this new car and jumped on the opportunity. The car was practically new, and they were selling it for 21,000 euros. When interviewed by police, he told them that he met the seller in a Mercadona parking lot in Utebo.
That's a supermarket.
Mm-hmm. And they negotiated payment. Antonio agreed to pay 11,000 up front and the remaining 10,000 when he had the title and paperwork transferred into his name.
Yeah, well, that's 11,000 away.
The man told him that the car belonged to his grandfather and that he would square away the paperwork for him. So then, on September 9th, he had a second meeting with a woman who claimed to be the caretaker of the said grandfather, of the owner of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she provided him with the papers he requested, along with a photocopy of Josechu's ID. He also provided the police with descriptions of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the best part.
Good description.
Regarding the woman... he said she was a foreigner and, quote, she had a lot of ass and a lot of breasts.
Okay, well, to the point.
Very classy, right? His description of the man was better.
Oh, really?
And wow, I suppose because he wasn't so distracted by the tits and ass, right?
I guess, yeah.
So they were able to locate the man in question from the surveillance footage captured on the 7th in the Mercadona parking lot. So the Mercadona parking lot had surveillance cameras.
Finally.
So yeah, they found the meetup. They had an image of the man that met him in the parking lot, but they didn't have a name for him, right?
Well, at least we've got a photo finally.
Excuse
Terrible
me.
Pixels, I'm sure, but...
Yeah. But... You know, based on the way the man was acting, the way he seemed very comfortable in the area. So they assumed that he must live there.
I mean, it's a hunch.
I mean, that's like you got to speculate when you're a detective, right?
Plus, even so, all these three cases are centered around Zaragoza, so they're not too far.
Right, so they're like, this guy is obviously from here. All those ATM things were happening in these different villages.
Right.
The meetups were always in Gayur or whatever. So they can kind of go like, well, this seems like somebody that feels very comfortable in this.
Yeah, it sounds place, like it.
Right?
Yeah. That's where I start.
So they were like, okay, well, let's just share this image around to the local precincts. The police precincts. And boom, they found him.
Oh, look at that.
A sergeant in the town of Pedrola recognized him immediately as Moroccan resident Mohamed Ashraf. So he lived in town and he had three children. But the reason this sergeant knew him so well was because he also had two separate restraining orders filed by his two previous partners for domestic violence. And he had most recently been arrested for assault on his partner in March of that year. And after that arrest, the judge ordered him to wear an ankle bracelet to monitor him.
Oh, wow.
And ensure that he would stay at least 150 meters from his last partner.
Oh, wow.
So, they were also informed by officers who knew him that in the last 6 months that he'd found a new partner. And they didn't know who she was, but she was definitely Latin American. And she... And I'm like, and she had a huge ass and tits. No, I'm just kidding. That's me. So they trolled his like social media.
Oh.
And they found an image of this woman in his, you know, his latest romantic conquest or whatever. And they show this woman's picture to the buyer of the Mercedes.
Oh, right.
And it's a match to the woman he had met in the, you know, to that had provided the paperwork. Yeah.
And following.
They also showed the picture to the friend that Josechu had showed the image to before leaving the bank.
Yes.
And he also confirmed that it was her.
Ten Pines Police, you're getting somewhere.
So she was identified as 34-year-old Indaline or Gendaline Candy. She went by Candy. Arrieta.
Oh, classic Basque surname.
Yep. And she was from Venezuela.
Very cute.
So I'm going to call her Candy, huh?
Sure.
I'm going to call her Candy because she went by Candy.
Arri is just stones.
And Arrieta. Arrieta is that's also a first name here.
Is it?
I know people that are
really Arrieta. Oh, I never heard that as a first name. That sounds cool. I think it just means place of stones, but...
Place of stones. I mean...
We like stones here.
They do.
There's a lot of stones around here.
I love the rocks. They're mountains.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so the photo posted on Mohammed's Facebook was from July 6th, and the couple had been together for only a month at a time. Mm-hmm. Florine's attack had happened on July 26th, and in one of the comments that accompanied the post was written by Jose Antonio Melendez, and he was a known criminal in the Vina Roth area, and he had tattoos on his calves.
Ooh, nice.
So let's...
A little break.
Shall we? Or, yeah. Yeah.
Let's take a break and say hi to Millie's.
All right, we're back.
Here we are.
Okay. So, like I said, this guy had a monitoring... He had an
ankle thing.
An ankle bracelet, yeah. To monitor his movements for his domestic violence history, yes. Right?
So did he stop at every one of those bank friggin'
ATMs? So, I only just want to say that last week, Megan and I had a discussion about domestic violence, gender violence, how all these women get killed by their partner, and it's like the onus of the woman to file a restraining order and have to go through all the shit. And how come they're not monitoring the men? So it turns out that they do actually put these men, or some judges, like in this case, they decided you're going to have an ankle bracelet and you're going to be monitored, your movements, so that you stay so far away from this person that you've assaulted. And I talked to my Ramon's cousin, who also is a lawyer of specializing in gender violence. And she also was telling me that, yes, they have those in Navarra. It's a typical step that they take to monitor them to make sure that they're not breaking their restraining order, basically.
Good to hear.
So I was like, that's fucking great. I don't know if they have it in the States. So if anybody can tell me or us, that would be great.
I've heard that they have ankle bracelets in the States.
For sure, but like more like you're on house arrest because they're worried you're going to skip bail.
Yeah,
but I hadn't heard it for like for domestic violence, right? So, but maybe they do. Maybe they do. I don't know. So if anybody can tell us, that would be great.
It probably goes state by state.
Yeah, probably, probably. Or a judge by judge, right?
I mean, that's so dodgy.
Because,
but
like, in this case, it was the judge that decided he should wear a bracelet. So they figured out who this guy was. And his ankle monitor was just what the police needed.
Yeah,
to discover what happened to poor Josechu. So these devices are monitoring the wearer by GPS, right?
This
data is collected. So they looked into Mohammed's movements on the night of September 6th and the last sign of Josechu.
Yeah, I'm so happy Mohammed doesn't understand what GPS is.
Right. Right. Idiot. Anyway, no, we don't want smart criminals, right?
No.
We want idiot criminals that get caught that they don't cause more pain. So investigators noted that Mohammed went into a deserted area twice on these dates.
Okay.
once on the day and then again at night. Mm-hmm. And this place was a very far from any urban settings, and it was quite isolated.
Yeah.
So
he ain't taking care of goats.
Yeah, yeah. He has no business out there, basically.
I don't think so.
His movements showed that after visiting an area, he would have no, you know, this place that he would have no reason to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he returned home to his house in Pedrola.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that they should head out there with some dogs.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
To see what they could find.
For sure, for sure.
So on September 27th, 3 weeks after Josechu's disappearance, police found what they were looking for. Mm. Buried in a shallow grave, which was not even a half meter deep, was the naked body of Josechu.
Oh my gosh.
And his autopsy revealed that after a savage and prolonged beating and torture, they had buried him alive. And then they also found next to the grave a cigarette butt.
Ooh, DNA, DNA, DNA.
And later it turned out to have DNA.
Nice.
Of Muhammad.
2024, at least something's happening.
Yeah. So, they immediately went to the home of Muhammad Ashraf.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a home that he was sharing with his girlfriend, Candy.
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 It's back in this picture.
Their house was on the upper floors of an old warehouse that was located in, like, an industrial complex.
Not dodgy at all.
No. The lower space was served as, like, a mechanic.
Oh, my gosh.
Shop that Muhammad worked in. So he, like, ran a mechanic.
It sounds nicer if he wasn't a fucking killer.
What do you call it? A mechanic garage? What do you call it?
A garage.
The lower space served as the shop that Muhammad worked in, and the couple, when the police arrived, they seemed genuinely surprised to see that any police were
really?
At their door.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Muhammad originally thought that they were there to talk to him about his ex, and was like, I haven't done anything. I didn't go anywhere near her.
Good to see.
But then, when he saw the Archanja police were with him, with the civil guard, or the Guardia Civil, his face totally changed.
Oh, I like...
Oh, shit.
I like their Archanja.
Where they're with the...
Giving fear.
Like,
to
we
criminals.
Know who you are. Yeah. So, in the space, they uncovered a mountain of evidence linked to their crime spree. Among these things they found
of course,
was...
they'll have, like, documents and shit, eh?
They had a taser.
Yeah, oh, that
right? Remember, the first victim had been tased?
Mm-hmm.
That was a taser capable of discharging 12,000 volts. Mm-hmm. They found the contract for the purchase and sale of the Mercedes. The Josechu's Mercedes.
Yeah.
They found several black zip ties. And then when they, you know, had this guy that had come forward to say he had bought a Mercedes.
Right.
They had also searched that car and found other zip ties in the car.
Oh.
That matched the zip ties that were at their house, right?
Good point. Was it salt proof?
Yep. Also at the property, they found Florian's Renault. Cleo was there.
Wow, they kept
that. And it was dismembered,
one.
Like, because I watched a documentary about it, and it showed the police footage, and it was all torn apart.
Right.
So they had, like,
so
stripped
used
it for
parts.
Yeah. Of Josechu's other belongings, they found his Armani, or Giorgio Armani's, you know, bag. He had a suitcase or a bag that he brought with him for his little weekend trip in Saragossa.
Nice.
They also found his prescription eyeglasses.
I mean,
they found golf clubs that belonged to him that were in his car.
Poor guy.
Yeah. They also found DNA evidence linked to Josechu.
Like double links.
In the part of the warehouse where he was beaten.
Oh my gosh.
So... as agents searched the house, Candy asked if she could go to use the bathroom. And then when they followed her in after, they found her trying to flush down the toilet a gold chain and a ring that had belonged to Josechu.
Oh, interesting.
So she tried to flush it down the toilet. Like, eh, I gotta go.
Classic moves.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
I'm just gonna give all our
she
listeners.
She probably flashed her tits and was like, guys, can I please go to the bathroom? Trying to use her charms.
Tips to our listeners.
Her boob charms.
If we saw it in the 80s, don't do the move.
What move? What do you mean?
Flushing gold down the toilet? I mean, when did that work last time?
Never. I saw in the documentary.
It doesn't even go up with the water.
Exactly. I saw the police officer with his gloved hand reaching into the toilet and pulling out the gold chain and the ring. The pair, along with their accomplice, Jose Antonio Melendez, was arrested for the murder of Josechu and the attacks on the other two victims. So that was the guy that had the ankle or the calf tattoos or whatever.
Good. Everybody's being caught.
So let me tell you something about these two. I don't know a lot about them because it seems like not many people know very much about these two. Mm-hmm. So Evangeline Arrieta, who went by Candy, was originally from Venezuela. One journalist, I think, just started searching for any trace of her, who she was or whatever. Uh-huh. So in 2015, she had posted a message on Twitter to Hugo Chavez.
Oh my gosh.
Who was president at the time, right? Uh-huh. And requesting him to help her out. So it says, quote, "Hello, my president. Please, I need a home. I have 4 children. Answer me. I am a Chavista at heart," end quote.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Did she have children?
Well, seems that way. When she left for Spain, she left her children behind.
Oh my gosh.
And she entered the country in May of 2019. So she wasn't even in the country that long.
But she is, like, clearly a very good Chavista. And I can support her claim.
But then, when she entered Spain in 2018, she entered as a political
refugee.
Asylum refugee of Maduro.
Right.
Venezuela.
Which is a friend of Chavez.
Right.
Which is absurd then. So. Jesus.
And it's been investigated but not verified as to whether or not she entered the country as part of a sex trafficking scheme. Like, a lot of people assume this, right? Because unfortunately, a lot of Venezuelan women do enter that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, she entered through Madrid, and she spent very little time there before moving on to a town in the Valencian province.
Valencian province.
So it was like a little town in Valencia, Comunidad Valenciano, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is way south of where she was found eventually, in Zaragoza.
And that's where she met Mohammed.
Oh, in the south.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he'd been married at least once, but, you know, as I mentioned, he'd been served restraining orders from 2 different women for domestic violence. And I don't know if that's true. That's what I found in one case, so I don't know if it was actually 2 women that had filed restraining orders, or if it was just his ex-wife that he had children with.
Right.
So he definitely had children with 1 woman, and she had filed the restraining order, hence the ankle bracelet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he and Candy had moved there together because his children were there with their mother, and then also his mother lived there.
Oh.
His own mother lived there. So once arrested, the two of them turned on each other. Or at least during the first trial. Like, I saw today that, like, in the first trial, neither of them would say anything. They didn't declare any, they didn't make any declarations, they didn't say anything.
Right.
But then, when it got serious, they were being charged with murder, they both just turned on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, they both said that he was the one that cooked up the scheme, and then she was the one that cooked up the scheme, and, you know.
We had no way to know. So,
So Candy claimed that she was like a victim of Muhammad, and that she was beaten and drugged all the time and was held against her will.
Mm-hmm.
But police could find nothing to confirm this.
Mm.
And the evidence that they found showed that she was like pretty willing participant, right? Because remember, she like held the gun to the guy's head.
Yeah, and we've heard her actively scream things at the guy.
Like one of the victims, I think it was the second victim that said that he heard her giving orders to the men, right? To like, do this, do that, you know. And then, of course, and that came out when she started to testify. And I think that blindsided Muhammad. And so then he was like, what? She's going to blame me? So then he turned on her.
Right.
So he like was saying that she was the mastermind. He was just dumb and he was just compliant and he was just manipulated by her and her feminine wiles. Right? Like, Seems another victim of hers, right?
Yeah, we've heard that one a lot of times as well.
But it just, in the end, she was the bait. Mm-hmm. She was the one that brought in the
victims.
The victims, mm-hmm. and then he was the muscle, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, she had no problem using violence and intimidation. Mm. She was yelling at the guy that she's going to dump in the river, held a gun to his head, etc., right?
There were a lot of those indications that she doesn't sound
equally demure. Participant. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, they didn't gain any sympathy from the court. Or any of those people that attended the trial. And when they were talking about Josechu, when they would talk about, they like give testimony at trial, they kept referring to Josechu as the El Viejo Vasco, the old Basque man, right? Yeah. Like,
very
just
caring.
Like very dismissive and
inhuman.
Yeah, it's totally. Very sad. It's very the sad. Old Basque man, yeah. So.
He was like 50. It wasn't even that old.
Well, he's like 58.
Yeah, okay.
Or 54. No, he's 54.
Oh, you see? He's not, I mean, you know, middle-aged, I'd say.
Right, but for them, as younger, I guess, like 20 years younger, they were...
Yeah, for sure. I understand it.
An old man.
It just shows that lack of empathy, right?
Yeah, like this old guy that... In the end, Muhammad, like, turned out to be totally clueless as to the extent that his ankle bracelet would monitor his movements. Like, he thought...
It would just
I think
when
he thought
got close
that
to her.
Only if it uh-huh. would only activate when he was getting close to his ex.
Right.
So he didn't realize they were, like, he could be followed everything he did.
His whole day is followed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
So the ankle bracelet evidence was pretty...
Crucial,
yeah.
For sure.
So on the night of September 6th, it showed that he was in the town of Gallur, where she was meeting up with Josechu.
Yeah.
They tracked him, and there was a safety SIM GPS type thing in his Mercedes.
Oh, in the car.
As well. So they were able to track that, the movements of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And both his ankle and the car went back to their house in Pedrola, or the warehouse or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they held him and tortured him for 3 days. So it sounds like that he held out for those days before he finally gave up his pin.
Oh my gosh. It's probably why he got killed in the end, right? Because he might have been the first person to be killed because everybody else
Or they'd gone too far. Like, there's a lot of speculation in the documentary about whether or not like they'd gone too far and they're like, well, we can't release him now. And I think it looked like he gave up his pin on the 8th.
Yeah.
So he held out for that long and got beaten.
Yeah.
And because that's when the ATM withdrawals were done.
Mm.
Was on the 8th.
Mm-hmm. How fucked up.
So then they went and buried him. Yeah.
My gosh.
So they that bracelet. And then, of course, when they went to bury him, that ankle bracelet led them directly to where he was buried.
He was around here for 30 minutes.
Yeah, so it had it there. And then here, this guy is out in this deserted area.
I wish every crime was like that. Hey, Julie. So easy to forget.
Why don't we just put ankle bracelets in all the psychopaths?
There's no ambiguity here. I mean, if only all psychopaths knew so little about GPS.
Right.
As Muhammad.
Right.
But hey.
So it looks like they didn't go to trial until 2022, in February of 2022.
Okay.
And probably because of COVID, right?
Right, yeah.
Because this is 2019.
Mm-hmm. All the investigation things.
Yeah. So trials were probably delayed because of that.
Mm.
But the evidence was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking for those of the family and friends of Josechu.
So sad.
It was revealed in trial. So this is where it gets sad and horrible. So if you guys want to skip ahead, you can.
Okay.
That he really suffered.
Oh, I mean, clearly, these 3 days, it sounds like a freaking...
Yeah.
More than a nightmare.
So in autopsy, he had 9 broken ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
Which had punctured his lung.
Oh, my gosh.
Causing it to hemorrhage. And the broken bones had also injured his spleen. He'd endured at least 3 several severe blows to his skull.
Yeah.
And another to the back of his head.
Because there were just
And the forensic experts, they testified that these injuries alone would not cause death, but they would certainly cause traumatic shock, and pointed out that it appeared that he had not lost consciousness during all this and was aware of what was happening to him the whole time.
My gosh.
And the lack of defensive wounds indicated that he'd been bound throughout his ordeal. And the zip ties that they used in previous attacks appeared to have been used on him, because in autopsy it looked like he had marks from similar similar thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was clear that he suffered prolonged and intense pain, and that he was transported in the trunk of Ashraf's vehicle to an isolated, inhospitable area to be buried alive. They highlighted the fact that the presence of dirt in his trachea and in his stomach indicated that for a few minutes before dying from asphyxiation, he had struggled to breathe.
My gosh.
Yeah. So, disgusting. Really horrible death, yeah.
Yeah, talk about lack of empathy.
Totally. And they must have known he was alive. He was alive when they put him in the grave. Right, because he never lost consciousness. It wasn't like this is...
Even if it's just breathing, you can... He's moving.
He's breathing, yeah. Especially even if he was unconscious.
You put a bit of sand on breathing. Somebody or earth, it's moving somebody's breathing.
So, I'll finish this up. In the end, they were convicted on many counts.
Good.
And their first trial. And then those convictions and sentences were upheld in the appeals that followed.
Good.
So for murder, they were both sentenced to 25 years. For illegal detention with robbery and violence, 6 years extra. For the crime of fraud pertaining to the sale of the Mercedes, they got 3 years more. They were ordered to pay compensation of 185,000 euros to the victim's son. So Hosetu had a son.
Oh.
50,000 euros to his parents and 19,000 euros to his siblings. As well as 11,000 euros to the victim of the car sale.
Well, this is basically what he gave.
Yeah.
Him.
As for justice for the first two victims that we're aware of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, we don't know if there were more. Probably. But the two were that went to the police. The pair have been sentenced to 12 years. So Candy and Muhammad have been sentenced to 12 years for each of the crime against those
other two.
At least one of the men.
Okay.
And the tattooed guy, Jose Antonio Melendez, also got 12 years. And I'm assuming it was for Florin's case because they had found his stolen car at their property.
True.
So they had evidence to prove that
he was, in fact, the victim. Yeah. So be careful with your apps.
Absolutely.
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 I know, but you know, don't not date. Still go meet people.
Yeah.
Just, show your photos to your
always
friends.
Meet somebody in a public place.
I'm just thinking.
Don't meet them at the other side of the train tracks.
You know, certain friends of ours who use those apps, imagine if they actually sent any of our friends, like, one photo each time they met a person. That would be impossible.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, certain friend we have who I think is the one you were talking about who met somebody up the road halfway between the two bars. Like, yes. Imagine if he had to be
the rejection was harsh.
Imagine if he had to be that careful and send one friend of his every time a photo of who he's gonna meet.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah,
we would be getting a few photos a day and then still
maybe, but we're at this point, like, not many of our friends are dating.
No, not that intensely.
No.
But still, it would be like, there's some people who, you know, there's no way.
Yeah, you'd have to be like, I'm going to go, yeah. Exactly.
There's no way for you to keep up. Like, let's
say you met somebody and you were going to go to Zaragoza.
Yeah. I mean,
I would hope you'd send me a photo and be like, I'm going to go to Zaragoza. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see how it goes.
I mean, I think I would just one of my friends.
Because if you didn't come back after Sunday,
yeah.
I'd be like,
"Yeah,
where's Douglas?"
If I leave my city, I'd probably.
Like my friend Maria that was here last weekend. Remember Maria? Hi, Maria. She was in Paris, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, they'd met up with some people there. And I wrote to her just to make sure she got back to Boise.
Okay.
So right?
They went to Paris after here.
Yeah. So she was in Paris with her brother. And they were there. And I was like, so am I the only one that knows?
You're in Paris.
That she's in Paris. Do I have to contact, French authorities to be like, nobody's heard from her. She hasn't gotten back to Boise, as planned. I mean, I'm not... she could have missed her flight.
Yeah.
But she could just not be answering WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. But, do I have to, contact the authorities to be like...
It's cute that all right, we gotta find... It.
I always think about it.
It's also too
I
much.
Always think...
It's
it, also too I know, much. But I'm, a true crime person, I always think about it.
You are the true crime person.
Yeah. So I always think about it for no matter what. It's always one of the three options. This could be something that happened. This could be this, and this is the third one.
Like I don't.
That they got fucking something terribly wrong. Yeah, happened.
I don't take all the boxes at all. But I do know when I don't take the boxes. So the one time I'm in Paris and nobody knows I'm in Paris and I'm meeting up with somebody from Grindr, I'm like the minute this goes dodgier, I will let somebody know. So I'm very aware, but I won't.
But do you have time?
No, exactly. And I'm on a date in Paris. I mean, I'm not warning anybody about my date in Paris. Yeah.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's carry ankle braces, everybody. I would hope.
But that would take longer than getting on my computer.
I'm already dead.
And
I've suffered 3 days. They beat me up.
You might not be dead, though, Douglas. And we could still save you. There's still time.
Honey, one costilla rota and I'm fucking...
I'm out.
I'm screaming to death.
I'm done. Just kill me now. Here's my PIN number.
Oh, I'm not sure about my PIN number.
You're not going to give it up?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
My instinct is, of course, yes, but I'm not sure.
But I like to think about the guy that escaped who was thrown in the trunk.
Yeah, he negotiated down to 3,000.
To negotiate down to 3,000. I would like to hear his story of escape, but they never released his name, so he was not kind of mentioned in the trial or anything. But he did have, what I saw in the documentary was that there was one lawyer representing the two of them in the trial. So there's always several lawyers, right, on the prosecution side. There's the prosecutor for the state, then there's the prosecutor... There's the lawyers for the family of Josechu. Then there's the lawyer for the two victims. So there's several lawyers that represent.
It's a crazy system.
It is, but I like it.
It's growing on me.
I really like it. I like that there's not just one.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I like that all of them get a
maybe
chance.
Maybe one is a terrible lawyer, and then maybe the family doesn't get anybody.
And they're going to get some info,
Then there's another one that's really good. And
it's going to convince the jury that,
that sounds way good.
Yeah, I kind of
like
it.
Especially with a crime with so many victims.
Yeah.
This one had three.
And they all have somebody representing them.
Yeah, that's
which
good.
I think is good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Should we add on a positive note towards the justice
positive
system?
Positive note.
For
ankle bracelets for fucking gender violence men. Yeah, mostly men.
Or just make sure you give your real name when you sign up for a phone contract.
or be careful on dating apps.
Also. It's also.
Mini
crime time.
Okay. So... I went last weekend to celebrate a anniversary of a cousin of Ramon.
Okay.
And it was in Nevada, I'll say that. I won't give the town.
Sure. Don't dox yourselves.
Yeah. But so they had this very beautiful party. It was amazing. They had, it was like this wine. It was a vineyard. Nice. Winery, right? So nice. It was just a gorgeous place. And the views were amazing.
Jealous.
Beautiful place. And they had, appetizers for all of us to eat. Mm-hmm. And they had drinks sitting out, like wine, beer, and everything.
How civilized.
And this group of people had gone there for lunch and were still there when everybody arrived for this party.
Okay.
Right? So everybody arrived for the party around seven or so, right, for this party. And this group had been there since lunchtime and were still just drinking at the bar, right?
Overflowing.
So they start drinking they start helping themselves to the appetizers, the drinks.
No. It's already a crime.
And of course, the hostess, it comes over to tell them, like, hey, this is a private party. This is not for you guys.
As in the cousin or the people in the restaurant?
The cousin.
Okay.
No, the cousin. So they kind of just, like, dismiss her, but they continue to drink at the bar.
Sure.
And the final straw was when they came over, because she had set up, like, a photo booth for people to go take their photo.
That's sweet.
And, yeah, and it was really great. And everybody took photos and put it in this little book to write something about their, you know.
Time there.
Yeah. And then these people came over and took a photo and put it in the book.
Oh, my God!
Like, even put it in the book. That didn't just take the photo and leave, right?
That is very bad, yeah.
And so when they were confronted the second time, they started getting violent.
Oh, nice.
Like, one guy was, like, actually trying to throw punches at people.
Oh, good. Very civilized.
And his woman, who was also really wasted, was trying to hold him back. And I stayed outside. I was, like, outside, and I was watching the whole thing go down, and I was like, ugh. I was saying, like, the staff should do something.
Yeah, of course.
Here. They should kick him out, you know?
Of course.
But the staff was quite young. You know, they were like in their
20s. Oh, the staff was young. Okay.
Very young. Yeah, they were like 20 or something years old, or maybe younger. I don't know. So yeah, it got to be like this very big deal. And it was just like the thing that was the crime was that when they were confronted twice, they doubled down.
Yeah.
On how righteous they were to like
drunk.
Take people's food, use their shit, you know, like,
annoying.
And drink and like.
Such dickheads.
They doubled down and acted so fucking pissed that they were being confronted. And the guy started throwing punches and shit. And it was just like, are you fucking serious? You know, like.
What a sad person.
Yeah.
So did they end
up
leaving?
In the end, they left. They left.
Good.
After all this hoopla, because a lot of people got involved at that point. Like, once the guy started getting really aggressive.
Good.
All these people from the party.
I mean.
Stood around this group and was like, get the fuck out. Yeah. You know, like.
But still, what the fuck? Why does it?
But the fact that they doubled down was like just
unnecessary.
If it was me and I was taking the piss and I was trying to like take some drinks and food from some party that I wasn't a part of, like I had crashed a wedding or whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as I was busted, I would be ashamed and I'd be like, okay, my bad, you know, and I would leave.
Sorry about
I'd be
that.
Like
yeah.
embarrassed Oops. And leave. Yeah,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But these people fucking doubled down and wanted to fucking throw punches. So that's my mini crime tip.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Well, good notes. Well observed. But
Oof.
So terrible to be in, no?
Yeah.
So unnecessary.
Yeah, and especially as the person that's there, like, celebrating their anniversary and, like, just trying to have a nice time and then has to deal with this shit.
I mean, the freaking putting it in your photo book is just...
Yeah, like, come on. What the hell?
That's more than... annoying. It's dickheady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's
really
like
dickheady.
In your face.
It's really dickheady.
Yeah, totally. So.
It's been lovely.
Yes.
Chatting. It was
yes.
a great
Thank
crime.
You for listening today. And contact us on crimesofthebasslands@gmail.com if
yes.
you have story ideas or you want to tell us anything or fill us in on anything that you know.
That's
us. And follow us on Instagram.
And we
bid
you
a ghoul.
Crimes of the Basque Lands is written and produced by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia,
and Megan Dooley.
The sound and editing for each episode by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
and Megan Dooley.
Theme song written by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia,
and Megan Dooley.
Sung by the choir with no name and produced by Tom Squires. Podcast art by Distinct Signal. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Crimes of the Basque Lands and contact us at crimesofthebasquelands@gmail.com with story ideas worldwide which have a connection to the Basque Country or any rave reviews. If you like our podcast, please subscribe, like, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time,
Agur!